worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us in the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 5, beginning at verse 15. And then we'll look briefly in Hebrews 13 as well. Again, Ephesians chapter 5, starting at verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Then looking briefly in the book of Hebrews chapter 13, Hebrews chapter 13 verse 4, it says, marriage is honorable among all, and the bed undefiled, but fornicators and adulterers God will judge. Lord, we thank you for your word. Thank you for the fact that your word is a guidebook for all of life, and it's a guide for helping us to understand your will and your way as it relates to the topics of marriage and relationships and things that center around these two very important parts of life. Lord, help us to grow tremendously in our understanding of your goals for marriage and how you desire that we glorify you as husbands, as wives, and as parents that are preparing their sons and daughters to one day be husbands and wives as well. And help us to seek to know your, get a clear understanding of your vision, your desire for marriage, and help us to seek to live that out every day as husbands and wives, and again, parents, helping to mold our children to be that which you're calling them to be. We thank you, and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Again, I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. As always, we appreciate you listening in here on the Hour of Intercession. Today, we're looking at the topic of marriage and the prayer life of a Christian couple. Again, marriage and the prayer life of a Christian couple. Now, keep this very important point in mind. You know, it's very important that we learn to take our cues, our guidance, our direction, and our understanding from the Word of God. We live in a world where there's lots and lots of deception out there, where people get all sorts of definitions that are wrong definitions, wrong perspectives, wrong understandings about very important truths that we need to understand and know about. So it's very important that we take our cues, our guidance, our direction from the Word of God. So keep in mind, as believers, we're called to read the Word of God and follow it, that it would be our guidebook for every part of life, especially as it relates to this particular area in our lives, relationships, and specifically as it relates to Christian marriage. So as we're looking into the Word of God, I want you to note that the passages we read are two very insightful passages that have a lot to teach us. I think of this, we live in a world where, sadly, in recent years, a lot of attention has been paid to institutions, well, so-called institutions of marriage that are perversions of marriage. For example, people talk about homosexual marriage and things of that nature, which really is not marriage at all. Marriage is to be defined by God. God is the one who created it. So it's up to God. God is the one who can actually establish the boundaries of what it is and give us a correct definition. A marriage is to be between a man and a woman, and It's not to be between anyone else. And so we're to look to the Word of God as our guide and our direction. So looking back again at Ephesians chapter 5, looking at the passage once again, especially as it relates to verses 22 to 33. Again, Ephesians 5, beginning at verse 22. Again, it says, "Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word." Now again, specifically today, we're looking at marriage and the prayer life of a Christian couple. I want to remind you that it's important that we understand the goals and the mission, the design in God's mind and heart for marriage. Many couples make the big mistake of thinking the goal behind marriage is happiness. Well, that can be a wonderful byproduct, and thank God for that. But the reality is the goal behind marriage is to glorify God and to serve him in his kingdom. And this woman and this man that have come together, their great goal is to be seeking to fulfill the call of God upon their lives as a man and a woman, but specifically as a Christian couple. It's so important that you are prayerfully seeking God's wisdom, even in the midst of your courtship and dating life, because again, remember this, who you marry greatly impacts your ability to carry out the call of God upon your life and fulfill your God-ordained purpose in the world. If you happen to marry the person that was not that's not for you, again, it can cause all kinds of problems. So it's important that you're seeking God long before it's time to get married. You know, you don't want to just hop up and decide, hey, I want to get married today and get married tomorrow. No, you want to seek God, seek his will, his guidance, his direction, prayerfully, you know, seek God in his word, seek him in prayer, get his guidance and his direction. Now, the Bible says, amongst other things, be not unequally yoked with unbelievers. Now, part of what that verse lets us know is that a Christian should marry another Christian. So obviously, believers are to marry other believers. That's very important because remember that when a person is saved, that means their spiritual father is God, our Heavenly Father. When a person is not saved, their spiritual father is the devil. Now, the fact is, now keep in mind, don't go around telling people that because you're liable to get hit. You know, you don't want to, you know, people don't like the idea of you letting them know that, but that's true. Spiritually speaking, a person is not saved, their spiritual father is the devil. So that means when a believer marries a non-believer, that believer now has the devil as his or her spiritual father-in-law, and he now has access to your home. And so you're basically inviting all sorts of trouble and difficulty into your marriage when you choose to do that. God has clearly stated, be not unequally yoked with unbelievers. So keep in mind, in the midst of your courtship and dating life, again, rule out people that don't know the Lord. Because remember, how can you fulfill the call of God upon your life with somebody who is going in the opposite direction of you completely? But even between believers, again, it's not just for you to marry anybody. God knows who he has in mind for you to come together in marriage with to help fulfill the call of God upon your life. So seeking God in prayer is very, very important. So let me encourage every parent listening, dads and moms listening, teach and train your children how to read the Word of God. Teach and train them to pray and teach and train them to seek God. And also in the midst of their courtship life, encourage them, for example, when they go out on dates, read the Word of God and pray. Now, for some people, they think that's a crazy idea. In fact, some young folks might say, hey, praying on a date or reading the word, that would ruin my day. Well, it sounds to me like you probably have some wrong thinking and wrong intentions. Anyhow, no. Again, the word of God in prayer is appropriate in any and every setting. And so definitely in your dating relationships, prayer and the reading of the word of God should be an important part of that. Now, for young people that may say, well, if I take time to read the Word of God and pray with my date, that may run him off. Well, if it runs him or her off, good riddance. And the fact is it will attract the right kind of person. The reality is it's important to know, too, that when you love the Lord, when prayer is a vital part of your life, when the reading of God's Word is a vital part of your life, remember, it is going to run off certain kind of people, but it's going to attract the right kind of people. So don't worry about saying, well, your boyfriend, your girlfriend, you know, wanted to go their separate ways because they thought they didn't like praying and they didn't like reading the Word of God. Again, good riddance. Praise the Lord that they've gone their separate ways. Now there's room for the right person to come into your life. someone who loves Jesus and loves the Lord and wants to serve and honor God. So teach your children that walking with God in their dating and courtship life will help them arrive at the right person, okay? Obviously, again, seeking God in prayer is always something that will bless your life in every part of your life. There's no such thing as being too prayerful. No such thing as spending too much time in the Word of God. No such thing. These things bless your life. They empower you. They help you to hear from God more clearly. They help you to discern the will of God and help you to walk in the will of God. So teach and train your children to read the Word of God and to pray in their individual lives and to bring that into their dating life as well, because as I said, again, it helps them to move in the right direction when it comes to bringing the right people into their lives. Lord, thank you for the opportunity that you give us as parents to help mold and shape and guide our children and our grandchildren. Thank you for the opportunity you give us to help do our part to lead our children to Jesus Christ. But thank you, Lord, also for the opportunity to teach and train them how to pray. Thank you for the chance to teach and train them to read your word, which informs us, empowers us, guides us, and directs us more and more into your perfect will. Help us more and more as parents to be skillful and wise when it comes to these parts of our lives, teaching and training our children how to walk with God in every area of life, including the area of their relationships. Help them to know, Lord, that as they prayerfully seek your guidance and direction in the area of relationships, as they seek your guidance, they'll never go wrong following the direction of your Holy Spirit. Help them to know that as they seek the wisdom of your word, that your word will give them counsel and wisdom and guidance and understanding to know what to do and what not to do, to know the kinds of things that they should pursue and the kinds of things they should avoid. Thank you, Lord, for the fact that your word molds and shapes and empowers our children to be what you want them to be. And thank you for the opportunity you give us as parents to do our part to help mold and shape them. And Lord, help us to be mindful as parents that though we're not perfect ourselves, if we do our part, we can help give our children the equipment and the tools and the weapons they need to be successful in the battles and the battlefields of life, navigating again and following your direction, your guidance, your spirit through the pitfalls and through the storms and through the battlefields of life and coming out successful and victorious. Thank you, Lord, and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Another scripture we read a few moments ago in addition to the passage in Ephesians was again Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4, a familiar verse, but a very important verse to look at. Again, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4. Notice again what it specifically says. Marriage is honorable among all, and the bed undefiled, but fornicators and adulterers God will judge. Again, God's blessing is on the marriage bed. God's blessing is on the marriage relationship between a husband and a wife, between a man and a woman, under God, married in him. But it uses these two words, fornicators and adulterers. Fornication is when two people are involved in a sexual relationship outside of marriage. It's always sin 100% of the time. The fact is, sin is for married people. Sex is for married people between a husband and a wife. And it's important to know and understand that. So the sexual relationship is to be found between a husband and wife nowhere else. Yet, sadly, we live in a society where lots of boyfriends and girlfriends are involved with one another. Casual friends are involved with one another, and sadly, you have people, same sex, involved in sexual relationships. All of these are against the will of God, against the Word of God. And remember, God doesn't say to do or not do something because he wants to cramp your style. God wants to bless you, and he wants to set you free. Keep in mind, sin will kill you. And that's clearly from the Word of God, a truth that we need to understand. Sin will bring destruction. So we need to obey the Word of God and follow him. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. We're looking at the topic of marriage and the prayer life of a Christian couple. We'll be right back.
There were added that day about 3,000 souls. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Corner. The day of Pentecost concluded with 3,000 converts being added to the initial body of 120 believers. Then that 3,120 spent time together daily, going to the temple and interacting in each other's homes. They devoted themselves continually to the apostles' teaching, fellowship, sharing meals together, and praying together. The 3,120 that made up the early church came from Turkey, the Middle East, and Africa, and included Arabs and Romans. In addition to the geographic and ethnic diversity, they also spoke different languages. Yet they were made one family in Christ Jesus. Scripture has the answer to the issues we face today.
Visit the Hamilton Corner on the podcast page at AFR.net for more from Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
Can you imagine what the Pharisees thought after they learned of Saul's Damascus Road experience? Saul had been to the Sanhedrin and gotten permission to kill anybody that looked like they could have been Christian. And now he's had this life-changing experience on the Damascus Road that in an essence and an instant changed him from a killer to an apostle. We too are changed when we come in contact with the Lord. A true encounter, a true experience. You can imagine, and many a picture has depicted, the people's reaction to Paul after his conversion. He didn't act the same and he didn't talk the same. So I have a question for you. Can anyone tell that you've had an encounter with the Lord? It's not about how big your Bible is. It's not about if you can quote every scripture from the Bible and give its reference. It's all about your life change and how you live. Thank him today for your transformation. With a heart for the urban family, I'm today's urban woman, Toni Johnson. Connect with us at urbanfamilytalk.com. How would you distinguish between a modern-day contract and God's ancient covenant? For one thing, in a contract, two or more human beings come together looking for mutual advantage. They study a situation, negotiate, and finally say, "We have reached an agreement." Contracts usually concern money, property, or services. With God's covenant, Abraham never approached God at the bargaining table. God simply said, "This is what I have to offer." The covenant hinged on Abraham's faith in God and in the certainty that God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. If God says a thing, then that settles it. By faith, we have inherited God's covenant with Abraham. Through it, God promised us eternal, abundant life. Can you believe God today for the covenant and thank him? Ask God to give you the will to serve him faithfully and know that God will always keep his word. With a heart for the urban family, I'm today's urban woman, Toni Johnson. Connect with us at urbanfamilytalk.com.
Prepared a table for you. So glad you made it. So nice to see you. In case you didn't notice,
you are welcome here.
Yes, you are. You are welcome here. There's no resistance in this house.
You
I don't have an agenda, really no expectations.
The music of Forever Jones, the song You Are Welcome. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. Today we're looking at the topic of marriage and the prayer life of a Christian couple. Now again, in the earlier segment, I was talking about the importance of being prayerful as you look forward and prepare yourself for marriage. Because again, keep in mind, remember, we live in a world where the world in many instances is not lifting up Christian marriage as the Word of God basically paints for us. And again, some of the things the world calls marriage is not marriage at all. When you have two fellows that get married, that is not marriage. They call it marriage, but it's not really, because again, remember, God provides the definition. Marriage is between a male and a female in a Christian context. Again, that's not the Word of God. It's not according to the will of God. When two men or two women decide they want to hook up, as far as marriage is concerned, again, that's not really marriage. And you see, the devil's always trying to provide counterfeits or perversions of what God has done. But remember, perversions don't work. When you get away from the Word of God, again, you get away from that which brings fulfillment, blessing, and grace. So it's important that we look to the Word of God and for guidance, direction, and understanding what's true and what's not true, what's correct and what's not correct. So again, as we looked at, we were looking at Ephesians chapter 5. I want you to look further, and again, in a few minutes, we want to talk about some specific areas where Christian couples should be, things they should be consistently praying about. Because remember this, God's Word is where we get our definitions and our guidance and our counsel from. Going back to Ephesians 5, again, verse 22 says, "Wives, submit to your own husbands, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband." Again, Ephesians chapter 5, especially verses 15 through 33, powerful passage for any young man or young woman is looking forward to getting married, for you to read and study and think on a lot. But also, it's a very good passage for husbands and wives to read and study and think on a lot and to pray over as well. Now, let me share at this point, I want to share with you an item, and I want to say, too, again, if you'd like to get a copy, I just want you to simply email me at jparker@afa.net. But we have a couple items. One is a wife's daily prayer for her husband. And then the other one is, of course, a husband's daily prayer for his wife. I want to take a moment to pray it. And also, obviously, as we pray through it, you'll be able to see some important areas where any one of us can and I believe should pray daily for our spouses. Let's take time to pray even now. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the gift of my wife. And thank you for the many ways she's a great, great blessing to me. Thank you for the ways that Birdie continues to be a blessing to me. Bless my wife today. Bless her indeed. Expand her territory. Cause your hand to be mightily upon her. Keep her from evil that she may not cause pain. Help me this day more and more to be the full blessing to her that you want me to be. Fill her day with a great portion of joy, peace, grace, and encouragement. Help her to walk in your love, joy, and peace today as well. Help her more and more to spend time and help her to spend the time, all the time in your word that you, and all the time in prayer that you would have her to spend today. Help her today to put you first. Help her to make no graven images. Help her to not take your name in vain. Help her to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Help her to honor her father and mother. Help her to not kill. Help her to not steal. Help her to not commit adultery. Help her to tell the truth. Help her to not covet. Empower her this day to fulfill all the call of God upon her life this day. Help her to live today as the living sacrifice you would have her to be as she follows you. Thank you, Lord, for hearing my prayer, and thank you again for the gift my wife is to me, and thank you for the gift she is to you. Thank you for the gift she is to the body of Christ and to the world. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Now notice that took all of maybe, what, a minute and a half, maybe 2 minutes to pray. Not long, but it's a very fruitful prayer to pray for your spouse every single day. Now, as a pastor for many years, let me just be very clear. It's not hard to find couples. They hardly ever pray together. They may say, well, we go to church, and going to church, of course, is very important. But why don't you pray together? Now, so if I'm putting any of you on the spot, let me put you on the spot. There's not a good reason for you to not pray with and for each other every single day. Now, if you maybe you're traveling and you have things to do and you have busy schedules and go in different directions, you know, there's this little thing called a cell phone that helps very, very a whole lot if you put it to use when it comes to prayer. Remember, it can bring two people very close that are far away geographically. But remember, if you can't do it in person, do it by phone. But now keep in mind, if you see your spouse most every day, and most couples do, try to pray together in person. And also try to take time often to hold hands when you pray. Now, for those that think that's silly or cute, then you need to reexamine yourself. It's good for Christian couples to hold hands. And if you think that's old-fashioned, then you probably need to pray, ask the Lord to help you with that too. But praying for and with each other is very, very good every single day. If you can't do it in person, do it by phone. Sometimes couples may have to pray while they're riding. If they get to ride together to work, riding the vehicle. But praying together and praying for each other is so, so very important. And once again, that email is jparker@afa.net. If you'd like to get a copy of the prayer, a husband's daily prayer for his wife or a wife's daily prayer for her husband. But now keep in mind, if you decide, well, I don't really need that one, I know what to pray for, great. But be sure that you do it. And remember this, your spouse needs your prayers. And also, who will know better how to pray for your spouse than you would? So make it your goal to pray for your spouse every single day. And make it your goal to pray with your spouse every single day. Now let me share with you six problem areas that are very typical in many, many marriages, and many, if not most marriages. Now, keep in mind, there are certain areas where many marriages may struggle. But keep in mind, marriages that stay together and marriages that go their separate ways often have some of the same struggles. The end result is just how they chose to deal with the conflict. Again, many times couples that end up divorcing and those that stay together, again, have some of the same battles, some of the same conflicts. But again, the end result is how they chose to deal with it. So keep in mind, prayer helps us patiently and lovingly, by the grace of God, work things out. So here are six challenging areas in life for most your average couple. Number one, communication. Number two, money, and that's a big one. Of course, all of them are big ones. Number three, the sexual relationship. Number four, working and dealing with children. Number five, issues around work. And number six, specifically chores or divisions of responsibility. Now, again, all of them are very important areas of life, and all of them are areas about which you should pray. It's important that you pray about all of these areas in your life. So let me go ahead and share with you again six specific suggestions I want to encourage you to pursue as Christian couples. Now, again, as I said, I would encourage you to pray together and pray for each other every single day. Number one, as we've already mentioned, make it your goal to pray with your spouse every single day. Again, one way or another, whether it's early. Now, I would suggest you do it early in the morning before you leave. Now, if some couples feel like it's easier for them to try to do it at night before they go to sleep, well, great. But keep in mind, at some point in time, do it. That's very, very important there. Very, very important. Secondly, make it your goal specifically to pray for each other to where you can hear one another. Now, it's touching for a spouse to hear their spouse pray for them, and they can hear each other. Now, of course, obviously, if you're not in a position to pray with each other and hear one another, you still pray for them, obviously. But, you know, the fact is, it blesses a person when they hear someone that they love praying for them. But all the more if it's your spouse. So pray for each other in one another's presence where you can hear one another praying for the other. That's an important thing to do. Okay. Also, keep in mind, pray for God to bless every aspect of your relationship. Because remember this, Sometimes you have couples that they're good at dealing with one part of their relationship, but they're terrible at dealing with another. Well, the fact is, remember, as a couple in your whole life, you want to try to ask God to help you smooth out every part. You know, for example, sometimes couples maybe they do pretty good in communication, but one or the other is terrible at handling money, or vice versa. Well, again, you need to pray about all these areas of a relationship because, again, things may seem to be smooth on one side, but may be very rocky on the other. Well, remember, the Holy Spirit can help smooth out every part of your relationships. Also, it's important that you pray about kingdom issues as well. Praying about issues that relate to the work and the will of God. You know, it's not hard to find couples that consider themselves good, strong Christians who they pray sometimes and they go to church and they read their Bible some. But if you ask them, well, do you all ever share, you know, do you ever go witnessing? Do you ever give out gospel tracts? Do you ever get involved in missions at your church or anywhere? And they might look at you like you're crazy. They may think, I don't do that kind of thing. Well, are you a Christian? Because every Christian's called to be involved in the work of the Great Commission. So we should pray for God to guide us in getting involved with kingdom issues, issues close to the heart of God. Every couple should be used of God to do ministry. That's a part of God's goal in bringing you together, a big part of his goal in bringing you together. He brought you together that you would be more productive in the kingdom of God than you were separately. So being involved in ministry is very, very important as well. Also, pray for wisdom in every part of your relationship. Now, let me say this very clearly, and I already mentioned this. The sexual relationship is an important part of marriage as well. Lots of couples really need to pray there too. Why? Because there's lots of conflict and problems around that part of marriage. And for people that think, well, I'm shy, I don't want to talk about that, well, you better ask the Lord to help you, because you'd be surprised how many couples struggle and sometimes go their separate ways over conflicts in this area of life. Yes, husbands and wives should pray about their sexual relationship as well, for God to guide and to bless that as well, because God can fix even that too. He can fix anything. So yes, you need to pray for that part of your life as well. Pray for wisdom in handling money. So many couples go their separate ways because one person likes to save and the other one likes to spend everything they get their hands on. That's a problem. You've got to learn to come into unity in the way you handle money. You know, and it's been said that the most sensitive nerve in the human body is the nerve that leads from the pocketbook to the heart. The fact is, money is a personal and a sensitive issue. Yes, you better pray. Yes, you better pray, because the fact is, lots of problems, lots of conflict, lots of difficulty come when it comes to addressing money issues between husbands and wives. Lord, thank you for the fact that you're a heavenly Father that can give us wisdom, guidance, and grace to address all of these issues, all of these concerns. Whatever the challenge may be, Lord, you have the wisdom and the grace to help us fix these problems. Lord, anoint every husband, every wife, every couple listening, and empower us to be a praying people that seek you for help and guidance and grace and healing in the different areas of our relationships and our lives as couples. And help us to know that your goal is that we would glorify you in all these areas of our lives. We thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. We'll be right back after this break.
The Awakening, shaking believers out of our slumber and calling us to action. The Awakening, encouraging Christians to rise up and stand, though all around us are falling. The Awakening, hosted by a warrior for the Word of God and for the Constitution, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
I am proud to say that I am not an African-American, I am an American!
Tune in to Urban Family Talk, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday mornings at 9 Central for The Awakening.
Where there is no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint. But blessed is he who keeps the law. Our country is suffering because of lack of leadership, division, and a disdain for godliness. Urban Family Talk exists to be a prophetic voice as we speak on matters of religion, family, and culture. We will not be silent on issues plaguing our communities today as we sound the alarm of truth, wisdom, and empowerment. Join the movement at UrbanFamilyTalk.com.
The Awakening, shaking believers out of our slumber and calling us to action. The Awakening, encouraging Christians to rise up and stand, though all around us are falling.
The Awakening, hosted by a warrior for the Word of God and for the Constitution, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
One nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for
Tune
all.
Tune in to Urban Family Talk, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday mornings at 9 Central for The Awakening.
Just as David's mighty man Benaiah chased down a lion into a pit on a snowy day, Lion Chasers champions uncommon men and women of faith who are unafraid to stand up and speak truth to power in these dark and evil days. Never before has there been such a need for people of faith to draw a line in the sand with the sword of truth. Lion Chasers, the intersection of faith and public policy, with Lonnie Poindexter. Weekday mornings at 10 Central on Urban Family Talk.
Dr. Tony Evans says the revival we're praying for in our nation must begin in our churches. How will we know when that's happening? He gives us the answer as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
You know how you measure a good bowler? By their impact. Having nice form is okay. Having well-shined shoes is okay. But what good is shiny shoes, a shiny ball, and the right twist and spin if it's in the gutter? You could have a person with dirty shoes and a dirty ball who has an unorthodox style, but if they take down all 10 of those pins every time, that's the man. Because success is measured by impact. What good is a church or 6,000 members, or an education building, or a great vision, if there is no impact? We are to disciple the church to impact the world. We're inviting you to join us in the vision, to make it part of your vision, to not come and sit in your theater seat, eat your popcorn, and ask, what's the show today? But to say, I want to be part of that life-receiving, life-giving, life-sharing transformation.
If what you see on the news and on the streets these days has you discouraged about the direction our country is headed, you're not alone. But Dr. Evans explains how healing can happen in his book called America. It reveals how God's people can recognize the real problem and start the process of revival. Details are waiting for you at tonyevans.org. Then be sure to join us next time for 2 Minutes with Tony.
Now some say I'm crazy and I'm acting out.
music of BB and CC Winans, the song Lost Without You. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. As always, we appreciate you listening in. Again, our topic for today is marriage and the prayer life of a Christian couple. Now, let me say this very seriously. Again, every couple, listen, hear me clearly. If you really take prayer seriously, God can help you fix whatever your struggles are, whatever they might be. But the reality is you have lots of people that love Jesus somewhat. But remember this, so many times we do so little when it comes to praying. Every husband listening, every wife, if you really get serious about praying for your spouse, do you understand this? God can reach them any day of the week. We may not be able to sometimes, but God can reach them. But the key is, remember this, when we work, but when we pray, God works. So one of the great needs in many marriages is you really get serious when it comes to praying for your spouse. Praying, obviously, when you can pray together, please do. But remember this, most of your prayer life probably is going to happen between you and the Lord when your spouse may not be anywhere close by. And remember this, doing business in prayer is just a smart way to live life, not just in the area of marriage, but in every other area of life as well. So make it your goal to pray much for your spouse every single day. Also make it a goal to invite and encourage your spouse to pray with you. And again, sometimes, sadly, you have spouses that refuse to do that. But remember this, you do not need their permission to pray for them. And that's exactly what you're supposed to do. Remember this, it's your God-given responsibility to pray for the spouse God has entrusted to you. Because remember, often we forget this fact. The goal in the kingdom of God, the goal for your marriage is not your happiness. Now, it doesn't mean God doesn't want you to be happy, but that's a byproduct. The goal of your marriage is to glorify God, to serve God with it. And again, you and as a husband and wife are to be more fruitful as a couple than you were as in single individuals. So again, remember, being prayerful during courtship is important. Being prayerful as you marry and prayerful throughout your marriage is very, very important. So again, make it your goal. If you're not praying every day as a couple, today is a good day to start that. And if you can't pray in the morning, again, sometimes by cell phone, that's okay too. Sometimes it may be at night before you go to sleep, but the fact is, pray together every single day. Once again, if you want to get a copy of the prayer, a husband's daily prayer for his wife, or wife's daily prayer for her husband, that email is jparker@afa.net. Again, jparker@afa.net. Lord, thank you again for every single couple represented on this broadcast today. And thank you for all those listening. And thank you for each and every one of these marriages. Lord, anoint every marriage with a mighty, mighty, mighty anointing. Anoint each one with the spirit of prayer. Help these couples to begin to pray every day together and to take it very, very serious. Lord, help us to not take it lightly, the fact that you give us the opportunity to pray with the spouse you've entrusted to us. And Lord, help us to know, Lord, that it can make a huge difference, not only in our marriage, but in our life and in the impact we have on the kingdom of God if we as a couple simply make prayer a high priority. Help us to do that, Lord, as well, more and more. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Amen. Okay, there was a question about an issue wanted me to touch on the importance of addressing problems or challenges with in-laws. And, you know, of course, that's a source of lots of jokes and fun sometimes. But at the same time, that's serious business. Keep in mind, it's very common to find, for example, couples, just take for example, when parents are raising their children, of course, when children are small, dad and mom, we have the job of being boss, and we tell our children what to do. But when they become grown, dads and moms, we lose the job of being boss, and we're no longer to tell them what they're supposed to do. However, some dads and moms don't do a good job of letting that job of being boss go. And some dads and moms have children that are 20 and 30 and 40 years old, and they're still trying to tell them what to do. That causes problems, and especially when the son or the daughter gets married. Because the fact is, for example, a young man, he gets married, and so now he's married to a precious young lady who is his wife. And then when his mom starts to tell him what to do, or tries to tell him what to do, well, obviously the wife would be resentful because she wants to tell him what to do. But the reality is, it's important to know, too, that dads and moms sometimes have problems letting go. And it's important. Again, it's a prayer issue because some parents actually, again, they don't mean to be in the way, but they get in the way. And they will create new problems for their own children and their marriages when they try to dictate. But the fact is, it's important that children, you graciously ask God to give you wisdom and grace to know how to graciously and lovingly let your dads and moms know, dad, mom, let's stay in our lane. You know, don't be ugly. Don't be rude with your parents. They're still dad and mom. But graciously let them know sometimes they just need to stay in their lane. Because, again, once you marry, the Bible says leaving dad and mom and cleaving to your wife. In other words, cleaving to your spouse, and you're to become one flesh. So you belong to one another, and your greatest commitment is first to God, but then next to God, your greatest commitment is to be to your husband or to your wife, not to dad and mom. Now, if they need help here and there, great, but your commitment is to be to your marriage and to your spouse and to your family as an initial commitment under your commitment and walk with God. So we need to remember that and be mindful of that in all circumstances. Otherwise, time and time again, in-laws can become outlaws many times, and we don't want that. So prayer can help us address these kinds of issues, these kind of challenges. You don't want your in-laws to be your outlaws. You want them to be a loving part of your family that you can look to for prayer, for counsel, for guidance, but not persons who push themselves, their counsel, their direction on you. Again, these are issues that, as we learn to pray and give them to God, many times, again, they can be fixed, and sometimes it's not hard to fix them. But remember this, the Holy Spirit always knows what to do. So the key is you release the Holy Spirit. How do you release the Holy Spirit to fix the situation? Pray. It's through prayer that prayer releases the Holy Spirit to work. And remember this, the Holy Spirit is never stumped about how to fix a problem. He always knows what is needed, what needs to be worked out, what problem or difficulty needs to be moved. The Holy Spirit always knows what to do. Our job is to pray. But too often you have people, they'll complain about their problems and complain about their in-laws and talk ugly about them and say bad things about them. But talk to God about them and don't talk to God ugly about them. Pray, say, Lord, bless my dad-in-law, my mom-in-law. Help them to honor you in the way they deal with us as a couple. You know, pray for them. Give them to God. God knows how to fix the situation. So again, today we're looking at the topic of marriage and the prayer life of a Christian couple. Remember this, wise couples will fill their lives with prayer. Wise couples will fill their lives with prayer. And remember this now, again, often you may, if both husband and wife don't choose to pray much again, remember, how much you pray is up to you. And remember this, the Bible says pray without ceasing. Now, what does that mean, to pray without ceasing? You're to live in a prayerful mode all the time, but really spend significant time in prayer. You know, in church, sometimes people pray sweet hour of prayer, but they know some of these people that sing that song have never in their life spent half an hour in prayer, much less an hour. But, you know, it wouldn't hurt a thing in the world to really ask God to help you to, if need be, stay up late at night or get up early in the morning and really spend a full hour interceding, talking to God, maybe for your spouse or about your marriage or related issues. Because remember this, God knows how to fix things. I'm reminded of the story in the book of John chapter 2 when Jesus, and again, this is powerful because it relates to the topic of marriage. Jesus and his disciples were invited to a wedding, and it points out that the mother of Jesus, she also went to the wedding, and they, in that day and time, to run out of wine was a great embarrassment. Well, they ran out of wine. Jesus' mother quickly goes to Jesus and asks him, it lets him know, well, Jesus multiplies turns the water into wine, and he fixes the problem. But remember this, in this case, his mother was wise enough to go to Jesus with the problem. You and I need to be wise enough, like the mother of Jesus, like Mary, to take your problems to Jesus because Jesus always can fix them. He always can fix them. So learn to take the problems, the challenges to him. Now, we touched on this topic, but remember, we're just touching the tip of the iceberg. There's so much more we could say or could have said about the need for Christian husbands and wives to pray much for their marriage, for their relationship. You know, we need to pray about asking God. We need to ask God to help us to communicate better. We need to ask that God would give us wisdom in handling our money. We need to ask God to bless in the area of the sexual relationship, the intimate life. We need to ask God to give us wisdom in guiding and teaching and training our children according to the word and the will of God. We need to ask God to help us to honor him in the way we work and, for example, don't spend too much time at work and neglect the home. We need to ask God for wisdom and just divvying out chores at home too. So many areas where we need to pray and ask God to give us wisdom. And understand this, you won't stump God. You take your problems, your challenges, your difficulties to God and watch God fix them. Lord, thank you again for every single couple that's listening, every husband, every wife, every couple listening today. Lord, anoint us all with an even greater anointing of the spirit of prayer. Help us to learn that there's so many things that can be fixed and worked out and blessed and just work, basically just molded into what it's supposed to be if we would simply give them to you in prayer. Teach us to do that, Lord. Empower us to do that. Help us to know, Lord, that as we, as couples, really, really make prayer a more serious part of our lifestyle, so many things will get fixed. Thank you, Lord, for being a Heavenly Father that blesses marriage and blesses the prayer life of husbands and wives as well. We thank and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. You've been listening to the Hour of Intercession as we've looked today at the topic of marriage and the prayer life of a Christian couple. Thanks for listening in. Again, that email is jparker@afa.net. If you'd like to get a copy of the prayer, a wife or husband's daily prayer for their spouse, jparker@afa.net. Thanks again for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of Urban Family Talk, Urban Family Communications, or American Family Association.
Urban Family Talk. Urban Talk. Urban.